Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
Okay, so I have a few minutes, so I'm just going to go right into it. DJ, you will help me this morning. I will need scriptures as fast as possible. Let's start from Ecclesiastes 10:19, the New Living Translation. So we're talking about love and money, and I need you to understand that as important and as powerful as love is, it can't be sustained without money. As important and as powerful as love is, it needs money to maintain it. If two of you are in love and you get married, and you go to a landlord and tell the landlord that you are in love, we should give you a house. Will he give you? When you have children, if you carry them to school, do they collect love or do they collect school fees? School fees. So no matter how much you love each other, one of the things that will help sustain your home and your marriage is money. It's money. Let me tell you, everything feels better where there's money. Yes. I've been in a season where we didn't abound in much. Now we're the abound gang, but at the time, yes, those are my girls. I know them. My tribe members are here. The abound gang. But there was a time when we didn't have so much. I don't have so much time to share too many stories, but I will try. There was a time when, funny enough, Kingsley was on TV at the time, but we didn't have soap to bath in our house. We don't share those stories. I mean, there was a season God didn't allow us to share those stories. But now I think it's important that people get to hear the background story. That just because you didn't start out having so much doesn't mean that you can't end up having a lot. He's the God that is rich unto all, and He's no respecter of persons. What He does for one, He can do for all. So those days, because I grew up in a family where I never really understood what it meant to walk by faith. If I had a need, I will knock on my father's door and he will give me. It just never occurred to me that people hustle to pay their school fees. Yes, I was one of those sheltered children, what they call get inside. I didn't have that experience. I was shocked when I heard people were paying their school fees in school. It was a standard in my home that your parents pay for you to master's level and then you're on your own. And really not on your own, because if I have a need, I can call my father. But you know what I mean. So I grew up with that mindset that if you have a need, it can be met. I also grew up around having a healthy image of money. And that's one of the things that I'm going to try to do for you this morning. I think that it's important that we help our children. The things you are struggling with now, your children don't deserve to struggle with it. So you may not have come from wealth, but make sure that your children come from wealth. Anything you want remedied in your life, you can remedy it in your children's life. So I grew up around money, and money in the sense that money did not matter so much. Money was seen as a tool. I didn't grow up thinking, hey, we don't have, I never felt like we didn't have. And that was one thing I'm grateful for my parents. I had a very healthy image of money. So I'm not the kind of person that is afraid that we don't have money, or I'm hustling or doing unnecessary things just to have money. So that healthy image made it comfortable for me to make my choices not based on money. Now, a lot of people get married because of money. Don't get married because of money. Get married considering money, but not because of money. A lot of people have locked themselves up in relationships that they have no business being in just because of money. I always tell people, don't marry for money. It's so much easier to borrow it. Yes, there's no point getting married because of money. Because tomorrow, when you have that same amount of money, you will now be stuck with somebody who you really don't love. And that's what causes divorce. So Ecclesiastes 10:19, the New Living Translation says, a party gives laughter, wine gives happiness, And it says, money gives everything. I said NLT. Money gives everything. King James says, money answereth all things. So money is important. Even the Bible acknowledges that money is important. So important. So one of the things that I hope you get from today is, number one, money is a tool. Money is not to be worshipped. Now, you can worship with your wealth, but don't worship your wealth. Don't run after money. Money will run after you. Money follows value. Once you give value, it will come back to you. Okay? So now, in marriage, just like how you have temperaments, you also have personalities. And a lot of people don't recognize this. They go into marriage blindly and it causes problems. So what I want to do is show you the 5 money personalities that we have. I'm going to just run through that this morning, and then I'll tell you what you can do to help yourself if you recognize yourself in any of these. Interestingly also, these money personalities are also somehow tied to your temperament personalities. And I'm sure that as I'm telling you about them, you will recognize which temperament is prone to which personality. So number one, money personality, the big spenders. Big spenders. So if you were around yesterday, you know one of them. The ones that buy 2 dogs so that one dog will not be lonely. The ones that buy a pool table and then have to make a carport for the pool table, and then realize that the carport is not so big. So you now give her the pool table and buy another pool table to fit that carport. You know them. So big spenders, number one. These are some of their qualities. They are not bargain shoppers. So they don't look for discounts. In fact, if there's discounts, it means that that thing is probably not good to them. It has to be the best. It has to be the most expensive. They're the kind of people that don't bother about price tags. When Pastor Guy and I travel outside the country, sorry, baby, I'm going to share a lot of his secrets today. When we travel outside the country, I'm always amused at how Pastor K shops. He doesn't look at price tag. My chest sometimes. He'll just say something. He'll just say, oh, this thing is nice. He'll just try. He'll say, this thing is sharp, baby, sharp. He'll just put it inside. I said, oh, guy, you don't check the price. Say, it doesn't matter. If I like it, I'll buy it. Hey, it's a REM. They don't look at price tags. As far as the thing is fine, they'll buy it. They don't even care if that's the only thing they have money to buy in their life. One is one. One is one. They don't care. As far as it's that one thing, they'll buy it. They always make a statement with all their items. It has to be the best. It has to be the only one. It has to be the biggest. It has to be the finest. They don't like common things at all. If someone else has it, their love for the thing will start to fall. So it has to be the best. It has to be the latest. They don't manage. Those days when we didn't even have enough, when we now have small, they'll say, when we have small money, I'll be like, let's say, if Jesus come to Dinko, he always had a mindset of, well, with this saving, we don't, it's not enough to save, just eat it, let's just spend it in. We'll make tomorrow. And they have unusual faith. They have unusual faith. They are very optimistic. They always believe that they will have more. So they don't manage. They are very comfortable with spending money. If they made, it's my money. Do you understand? They have the attitude of, it's my money. I remember one day we were having a conversation, even though I believe it was a joke. We were having a conversation about leaving money for your children. So somebody was talking about leaving money for your children. Excuse me, I work for my money. I go chop my money well. So they have the attitude of, spend the money. You made it. You earned it. They see money as a reward. Especially if they didn't have so much growing up. Now, the reason why I'm sharing all these personalities with you is because if you are a saver and you marry a spender, you will have clashes in marriage. So you have to recognize this and know what to do about it. Okay? They don't fear debt. Gosh. They can owe and be okay. They're very okay. So, because I'm quite the opposite of Pastor K, you'll see my personality in the next one. Because I'm such the opposite of him, anytime we're doing big projects in church, I don't really sleep well. Savers usually are also warriors. So, once, I think there was, the last project we did was 1 point something billion. And my husband would sleep at night and be snoring. And we're supposed to give a certain amount of money the next day. You know sleep that has snore. It's not mistake sleep. It's intentional sleep. My husband will be snoring. I will now, in the morning, when I'm saying, honey, we're supposed to pay money today. He said, I said, now you sleep like that yesterday. He said, if God is awake and me, I'm awake, who is my waking up help? You don't help anybody. And I said, so sleep. Two of us cannot be awake at the same time. They are not afraid of owing money. Nigeria, they owe. They have, so they are not afraid, okay? I don't have time, so let me not. They also take very big risks when they invest. My husband never buys anything small. Never. I know he will share some of those stories today. All our moving from property to property have been massive face moves. Massive ones. We would go from trying to pay 450,000 a month to paying 4.5 million. He doesn't do, let's move from 450 to 1 million. Mm-mm. 450 to 4.5. So we now move from buying property of 400 million to buying 1.7 billion. Do you understand? They always do that big, let's do it big. Let's buy, that's how spenders are. They don't care about money. They buy, they do whatever they need to do. And even when they finally do invest, they always take major risks. Second personality, savers. The savers are the opposite of spenders, okay? They manage everything. Let me just be honest. We manage everything. We're the kind of people that we're leaving a room, we turn off the light because we're thinking NEPA bill, even though we don't live abroad. We're the ones that quickly close the fridge so that the cold air will not waste. We're the ones that will not allow people not close tap well. Water is drip, yes, so that's us. And we also are very creative in managing everything. We can wear one outfit 10 different ways so that we don't buy another one. What's the point? So, we shop only when it's necessary. We don't just wake up in the morning and go and shop. It's planned. How do you just wake up and just feel like buying something? You have to plan it. And we always find a way to manage to stretch everything. The last cupboard, the last meal. The seasons when we didn't have so much, you know. I remember that at that time, doing my hair was a luxury. So it's not like now where I wear wigs and I'm even now brand ambassador for some wigs, those kind of things. Those days, I was wearing wigs out of necessity. I couldn't afford to do my hair back then. And I remember one particular thing that triggered that. See, usually if you have a problem with money, I'll tell you, you don't have a money problem. You have a wisdom problem. It's never a money problem. It's a wisdom problem. If God gives you wisdom, you'll be able to manage your finances. So that time, we never chop, now hair we go do. I mean, maybe if I was a spender like my husband, I'd probably do my hair, but I was just managing us so that we would not ever have those seasons where we don't have at all. So I couldn't afford to do my hair. So one day, one of our associate pastors, Pastor P, saw me and said, Mama, no, Mama. He saw me like in the house without hair and anything. So he said, no, Mama, you must do your hair. Your Mama, it's not like that. How much would you do your hair? So I said, 1.5. So he put his hand in his pocket. It's back then now. That's like 17 years ago. So I said, So he put his hand in his pocket and gave me 1.5. And so the plan was this. I would buy 3-in-1, 5,500, 2. I maybe remember 3-in-1. Let me see your age here. People are very young. You know that hair that if rain meets you on the road, you are finished. It will just stand like this. And 3-in-1, you can't use it more than once. After 2 weeks, it becomes sponge at the base. So I told him I needed 1,000 naira. I'll do 3-in-1, buy 2 packets, and I'll use 500 naira to fix it. So he gave it to me. So when I got to the market, I wanted to buy the 3-in-1. So as I was standing there, the Holy Spirit said to me, this thing you're about to do, is this smart? I said, to do my hair again is not smart. I'm not really understanding, sir. He said, no, think about it. That thing over there, what is it? I said, it's a wig. And it was really fine. The wig was really fine. So I said, ask the mama. So I asked the woman, how much is the wig? She said, 1,002. So the Holy Spirit said, if you buy this wig, you can wear it more than once. It's not 3-in-1. You can wear this wig more than once. And you cut out the money of somebody fixing it. So you're going to do this hair. Then you have 300 naira to buy tomatoes and Titus fish to make stew. I wish I brought the list. I used to have those lists. Pastor K, I showed you, Obi. I showed you after 10 years of marriage. There's one list I used to make then. I used 150 naira to cook stew. And we eat it 1 week. As you'll be shocked. So God gave me that wisdom. So I bought that wig. And then another month, I was able to raise another 1,300 and I bought another wig. So for that year, I was rotating my wigs. And people assumed, because wigs were not popular back then, people assumed that I just liked these two hairstyles. I didn't remember today. I would have brought the pictures so that they would. People assumed that I liked those two hairstyles, not knowing that they were wigs. And so that's how I managed that entire year. Not I wash my hair at home, weave it. I used to weave my hair, weave it by myself. I wear my wig and move on. And nobody was the wiser. If you wear clothes, you manage yourself and you come out and look nice. So God will always give you creative ways to stretch, okay? We also rarely buy on credit. I never buy on credit. If you are a saver, you can't. Your credit card, I have a credit card. That credit card has never been used. That I want to use to buy something. Never. That's expired like that. So I'm a waste for all these banks. I don't use credit cards. I don't spend money I don't have. And by money I don't have, I mean if I have money somewhere that I'm saving, it's not money I have. It is saved. It is not for spending. So that's how savers are. We don't spend money that we don't have. We don't make purchases that are not necessary. We don't have debts. Sometimes people call us alaroro, but we are okay. We don't have debts, unnecessary debts. We derive more joy in looking at the interest on our investments than on buying new things. Somebody buys new things for me. I'm not as excited as seeing my money grow. We're also very conservative. We don't really need many things. We don't need flashy things. Less is more for us, okay? And then when we're investing, we don't take risks. So if you're a saver, usually you won't take risks, okay? Number three, personality. So first personality is what? Second personality is what? Saver. Third personality, the shoppers. They derive great emotional satisfaction from shopping. I have a friend like that. I have someone in my life like that. Once she's unhappy, she goes shopping. If she quarrels with her husband, she goes shopping. Like, it makes her feel better. Okay? They like to shop. And they also like to look for bargains. So they like discounts. They like where 50% off, 20% off, 70%. Even if the discount is not real discount, because as a saver, I will calculate it. That how much was it in the first place that they now brought it? So, but for shoppers, it's important that they just need to buy. Okay? They don't even mind having debt. They understand that this thing is a bad habit. But they don't mind. It just makes them feel good, okay? And they usually buy items they don't need. So if you look around you, and you're one of those people that you have bought something you have not worn in 7 months, you are most likely a shopper. And they cannot resist spending. In fact, they justify it. Now, the thing about this personality is that they overlap. They overlap. So sometimes you're a big spender and also a shopper. So if you wanted to buy one dog, you buy two. Fourth personality, debtor. So first personality is what? Second one is what? Third one is what? The fourth one, they are the debtors. The ones that like to owe money. Not that they like to owe. The truth is that they are not even necessarily trying to make a statement with the things they buy or anything, but they're just bad with money. If you find yourself consistently in debt, then that means that you are a debtor. If you're always begging, always borrowing, they also have the philosophy of you rob Peter to pay Paul. So you borrow from this one to pay this one. Then you borrow from that one to pay this one. Then when this one is beginning to drag you, you borrow from this person to pay this one small. And then you collect from somebody you've paid back because your credit is now good. And you borrow. If you're living in that cycle, you are on all the loan apps. They are calling all your family members. They're usually not financially intelligent. They're just very bad with money. Very bad. And the major trait of a debtor is that you spend more than you earn. If before the end of the month your salary is finished, your money personality is debt. You are a debtor. So you are one of those people who, as you've planned your salary before you've even seen it. So somebody brings cloth, you just say, at the end of the month, but if you are all those, at the end of the month, I'll pay you, you are a debtor. And then the last personality, they are the investors, okay? They are the ones who are consciously aware of money. They always put money to work. They understand that money is a tool. And their goal in life is to have passive income. They don't want to work so hard. They want to have money working for them. So they're very careful in making decisions about money. They take the necessary risk when they have to. So they're the kind of people who can make the sacrifice of not having now, knowing that they will have tomorrow. Okay? So they are largely a combination of a lot of the personalities. So, if you are in any of these personalities, let me tell you what you need to do. So if you are a big spender, give me Proverbs 21:20. If you are a big spender, one of the things you need to do is to shop a little less and save a little more. What did I say? See, it says there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spends it up. So basically, what the scripture is saying is that there's treasure and there's oil in your hand. But the problem is that you are spending it all. And what the Bible calls you is a fool. So if God himself says you are a fool, you need to pay attention. So what you are supposed to do here is constantly tell yourself, say new thing, no, they finish for market. Say new thing, no, they finish for market. I know you're teaching everything, but let me teach you guys a bit of pidgin. New thing, no day, finish for market. So new thing, no day, finish for market. So constantly tell yourself that there will be a tomorrow. So all of you that want to do all those big buys, like the new latest model of this car is out. Nothing has changed, just side mirror. It's the same car. So don't deceive yourself. They will bring out another one next year. iPhone 14 will come out. When they did iPhone X, we thought because that's which X, they want to rest. No. We're in 13 now and counting. And they will bring 13. They will bring 13 Pro Max. They will bring 13, all kinds of 13s. Because they know that you will buy. So what you need to do is realize that there's wealth in your hand, but you are spending it all. For the savers, Hebrews 13:5. You need moderation in all things. Don't let life pass you by because you don't want to spend. No, Pastor Ken and I, when we first met, I was just save everything. But now, really, Jesus can come now and all the money, we'll leave it for who? For this world people. God forbid though, you will not miss rapture in Jesus' name. So, at the end of the day, it's important that you live a little. Enjoy life a little bit. The problem also with savers is that somehow, at some point, money becomes your God. That's the real problem. Money now becomes your God. So this scripture is for you. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So God has to be your source. So if you are saving for a rainy day, realize that it is God that sends the rain and it is God that protects from the rain. Even Noah, God told him to build an ark. So your faith must still be in God. And it's God who gives the power to get wealth. It's not by your saving today, saving tomorrow, okay? So you must balance it out. Enjoy life, okay? Don't make money your God. Number three, for the shoppers, Luke 12:15. So don't spend money that you don't have. Plan and save. In fact, for the shoppers, budgeting is key. If you don't budget, you're going to spend anyhow. So if you know you're a shopper, always have a budget. This is what I'm going to spend on this. This is what I'm going to spend. And when it's finished, it's finished. Okay? Luke 12:15 says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. So greed, you know, greed is still the bane of most of the different, of all the money personalities. Greed. So the spender wants more things. The saver wants more money. The shopper wants more things. So it's still always about covetousness. He says, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. So it's not about the things you buy. It's not about, that's not what makes your life. So please, I don't really like King James, so maybe New King James or something. I don't really like King James, okay? So it's very important that you're constantly aware of the fact that you don't have this money, so don't spend it. It's not about having things. For the debtor, Proverbs 22:7. First of all, you need to be accountable. If you know you have a problem with debt, you need to talk to someone. Don't say, I got this. You got nothing. You can't get it because you have been trying to get it since and you still haven't got it. So go and talk to someone who will keep you accountable. Sometimes you need to give someone your salary. I had to do that for one of my daughters because in her own case, she was spending the money on her family. And sometimes that's usually a problem. You know, you feel like you are the savior of the family. So she seemed to be making money. And so everybody was draining her. Bring school fees, bring house rent, bring this, bring that. At the end of the month, she had nothing. So I had to be sitting there. I said, you know what? You have multiple streams of income. So what you do is give me this one. You're a movie producer. Give me any money that comes from movies, give me. Every other thing you can give your family and yourself. When she was getting married, I returned her money to her. She almost passed out. And I returned it to her in dollars because I changed it to dollars, knowing fully well that she comes to ask me for money. I tell her, I don't have naira and I don't change dollars. So I kept her money, and when I gave it to her, she almost passed out. So you'd be amazed at how just being accountable to someone can save your life. Okay? So plan your finances. Remedy. Proverbs 22, verse 7. It says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. If people are borrowing you money, you are their slave. I don't even want to go into what's happening to Africa and to Nigeria. But once people are borrowing you money, they can determine the cost of your life. So you can't live a life where you are a constant slave. You were born free, but you have handed yourself over as a slave because of borrowing. Okay, so plan your finances and start saving. Start saving, start paying off bit by bit and be accountable. And so for the investor, of course, keep up the good work. Now, how do you break this cycle? Because I'm always about legacy. It's one of the things that I feel I'm called to teach. I think that a lot of the problems we have now, if we fix it in a generation, it will not continue. So what I've come here to challenge you to do today is to make sure that when you have your children, you correct some of the bad mindsets that you already have. And if you notice their personalities, you can help them work at it. So what do you do? You teach your children great money habits. It starts from young. It starts from when you're young. Some people will do anything for money because that's how they were raised. Like money is their God. So they will sleep around for money. They will cheat for money. They will kill for money. Ritualists do these things because they have been raised like that. Nobody told them that no, greed is bad when they were small. They continued with that. Wanting something and not working for it is bad. So teach your children great money habits. Teach them how to work. Be like the Jews. The Jews don't leave anything to chance. The Jews train their children. And you see, the thing is, it's one of the things that God requires of us. That's why God, one of the reasons why God loved Abraham. He said Abraham will teach his children his ways. He will teach them. God didn't think that Abraham would just leave them to chance. And you see, that thing showed up much later. The Bible tells us that at some point, Abraham was very rich. When the Bible starts to describe that you are very rich, and it doesn't just say it by faith, it now starts describing what you have. Describe, he has cattle, he has this, he has gold, he has silver, he has servants. It was describing how wealthy he was. Now, Abraham did not just say, I've made money, I'm going to leave it for my children, which I think is one of the things we're doing to destroy our children. And also what I think a lot of our parents did to destroy this generation. A lot of people are just waiting for their parents to die. So my father has money. You are planning with inheritance. If that man decides to live as long as God has planned, you too, you'll be old. You won't be able to spend the money. So we have raised a generation who have refused to work. They're either way. So when we first got married, we used to live in Festac. And one of the things that Festac in Lagos, one of the things that I noticed about Festac people is that they don't move out of their parents' houses. They have a knack for just living there and waiting for their parents to die. And so one of the things I heard a lot of when we first got married were people complaining. They'll come to Pastor Gay and say, my father sold our house. And I used to be very amused. Your father did not sell your house. He sold his house. And they would be angry and they would be bitter. I'm like, your father worked to buy that house. Young man, you are 32. Go and work. And so I think our parents did us an injustice. The Jews don't leave anything to chance. From small, they start training them. You, what do you want to do, fisherman? Go and stay with your uncle, he's a fisherman. You will learn it. You will learn the Bible and you will learn a trade. It's not just go to school as if teachers are the ones that will raise our children. So teach them. What do you teach them? Number one, teach them that God gives power to get wealth. It's God that gives power to get wealth. Number two, teach them to be generous. You see all those, give me biscuits, say, nya, give me biscuit, nya, give me biscuit, nya, mommy, nya. I say, leave na small picking. That's why they learn them all. It's from that na small picking, you will take, even if the child cries, you will teach the child generosity. Because children are innately selfish. You can't leave them. That's why we have selfish adults. Because nobody dealt with it when they were children. Nobody said, share your biscuits. My son is, I never say, generous with his words, but not so generous with what he has. He can tell you are beautiful. He can tell every nice thing in this world. But you see that biscuit is holding. David, give me now. He will now cut one. Now cut one small thing. Pastor K will never agree. Pastor K, you see, David, he will collect, he will, even that small basket, will first collect that small one. Then now collect the big one in his hand. I'm like, see, the boy say, no. If we don't correct it now. And because he's very charming, he gets away with a lot of things. Everybody say, well, that's how David is. He will grow up now with that's how David is. His wife was asking for money. He will just say, oh, you're beautiful girl. You're beautiful. You'll not give her money. So all those things, we have to teach your children to be generous. Teach them to save. I don't understand how a human being can be alive and you will eat everything you have. It's wrong. It's wrong. Very wrong. For every 1,000 you have, there must be something you save out of it. If you have a saving culture like that, and that's one of the reasons why God expects us to tithe. God is teaching you a principle as well. He expects you to tithe. If you can release that 10%, you can also learn how to take another 10 or 20% out and keep it. It's a principle. If you struggle with tithing, you struggle with saving. I'm telling you. And the thing about generosity is that he that waters shall be watered, and the liberal soul shall be made fat. If you are generous, it's only a matter of time. See, what you can't give, you can't have it. If your mind cannot conceive giving out 1 million, you can't have 1 million. The real reason why you can't give it is because your mind is not large enough yet. So some things you will do, I'm not even going to get into Pastor K's message, but some things that you will do will trigger a level of wealth that you will never imagine. If you can give out 1 million, you have escaped. Teach them that God is their source and then give them a robust inheritance. And by that, I don't just mean money, okay? A robust inheritance for me is a relationship with God. And that's why I want to round up this morning. It's very important. Please give me 1 Timothy 6:17. It's very important that we teach our children that God is their source and give them a robust relationship with God. Give me from verse 15 to 17. A robust relationship with God is important. Abraham had a lot of money, and I know that he left all that wealth to Isaac. But do you realize that at some point, the Bible says there was famine in the land, meaning that all the wealth that was left for Isaac by Abraham, somehow, everything finished too. But do you know what saved Isaac? Was the fact that he could inquire from the Lord. He wanted to run to Egypt like everybody was running. He wanted to go to Canada. And God said, my son, money does not come from abroad, it comes from above. My son, don't go to Canada. It's America, uncle. My son, don't go to America. I can buy passport from Greece, my child. Stay in Nigeria, I will prosper you. And for some reason, I heard somebody say, I reject that in Jesus' name. But listen, money is not where you are running to. Money is inside you, because there's value inside you. And that's what Abraham was able to teach Isaac. That we always look back to God because he's the one who gives us this wealth. If we're going to end poverty in the body of Christ, we have to start teaching the next generation how to handle money. Verse 15 said, no, give me 17, sorry. Let's just run to 17. He says, charge them that are rich in this world. I don't know why you guys are insistent on giving me King James, but it's fine. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. This is what Abraham left as an inheritance for his child. We have money, but don't put your mind in money. Money is fleeting. It will disappear. He calls it uncertain riches. Uncertain riches. Jesus said, don't lay up your treasures where rust and moth can reach it. But let your treasures be laid up in heaven. He says, put your trust in the living God who gives. We have a generous God. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. And so, like I said, don't worship wealth. Worship God with your wealth. Were you blessed this morning?
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.